Well, for our devotion tonight, I'm turning us to Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 27, and I'll be reading through to verse 38. See what Jesus has to say to us tonight. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. This is in a portion that gives an alternate version of the Beatitudes. Some scholars say it's a corruption of the original, but Luke was a very careful researcher and writer. I don't think we can take that. Jesus gave the Beatitudes more than once, is the way to take it. And we have a different variation here. He comes to verse 27 and he says, he's pronounced blessedness on his people and woe upon people who aren't seeking to follow him and embrace his salvation. In verse 27, he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same. But love your enemies and do good. Lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And do not pass judgment, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you shall not be condemned. Pardon, and you'll be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. Well, in reading this, you probably would say, and I thought about it trying to select something appropriate, that this is pretty familiar. I mean, it starts with a version of the Beatitudes, but Jesus says to love your enemies, and that's very familiar. We know that Jesus said that. So what's unfamiliar about it? And the key, I think, that at least strikes me, is given after our reading, when Jesus goes to another familiar example of the two houses. He speaks in verse 46, saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood arose, the river burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation, and the river burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. What makes this an unfamiliar part in Scripture is not so much that we don't know that Jesus is telling us to love our enemies. We don't know that Jesus is telling us to deal with one another mercifully. What makes it strange to us is that we tend not to do it. And that's where Jesus is laying the emphasis. Jesus is concerned not just with those who hear his word, but verse 27, he says, I say to you who hear, with the understanding that it's hearing so as to do his word. Not just listening, not just giving mental acknowledgement or even cognitive agreement to what's being said. That's the one building a house upon the sand, the ground without foundation. And it looks, the house looks just like the other house that has a foundation. The critical difference is what's not seen. And the Lord isn't just saying, if we're going to do this, do it when everybody's watching and can commend you for doing it. Because most of our lives, we live in situations where we're with unbelievers much of the time. And there may not be any other believers around to challenge us for not loving difficult people. So that's where the real test comes in. How do we live our lives when it's just us and the Lord and these difficult people? And Jesus tells us. And he's categorical about it. He doesn't make any kind of qualification whatsoever. But we do. We say, for example, that if Jesus is telling us to love our enemies, he surely can't mean that we love really bad enemies. Just love minor enemies. Maybe a family member who's an unbeliever who speaks ill of us and treats us like we're an enemy. Yeah, we're supposed to love the difficult uncle or brother, whatever. But Jesus doesn't qualify it in that way. He says to love your enemy. Verse 27, I say to you who hear, love your enemies. If we went that far, that would carry us even farther if it's genuine love, because Jesus goes on to say there, do good to those who hate you. Now, it's a natural impulse for us to hate those who hate us. And even as Christians, we think our hate is holy. They're wicked. They're defying the Lord, and they're abusing his children. So we hate them. And there's even a psalm when the psalmist says, I hate those who hate you, Lord, but I count them my enemies. But we forget that that psalm has an ending to it that puts the statement in a very different light. When the psalmist says, Lord, search me and try me. Am I the man? Am I the one who's really an enemy, an impediment? One upon whom woe is being pronounced because I'm a hypocrite? Jesus makes it very clear. To love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. The Christian is empowered with love. That's the only thing that empowers us. Righteousness, truth even, doesn't empower us like love does. Because truth is truth. It's either reality or it's not reality. And knowing the truth, the reality, empowers us to live more effectively because we're negotiating the real contours of our lives. But love changes those contours. Love beholds a sinner and embraces the sinner and often melts the sinner's heart with that embrace. And even if it doesn't, It pleases our Father, who's always watching. And not just watching like a spectator. He empowers us to love. He gives us a desire to do it. It's when we begin to listen too much to those voices around us that claim to be believers and may be believers, but just don't take this instruction, this direction from our Lord very seriously. Yeah, you can't love people. You're sending mixed messages if they're your enemies. You're rewarding them and emboldening them and encouraging them to be even more abusive towards you. And that seems to make sense, doesn't it? The only problem is it's not what Jesus says. So, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's a hard thing to do, too. A lot of times I find it easier even to act in a courteous way and kind of a fake love way towards someone I know hates me and opposes me. I find it easier to do that than to be in my prayer closet and actually pray earnestly for them. But Jesus is to do both, stressing the fact that this is to be sincere love. It's not just put on. And bless those who curse you, pray for them. Actually, what we're being called to do is empower people. We may give them more power. They may hurt us even worse. But again, that's what our Father did. He gave his Son. And the world, the Son came to his own. His own rejected him. But Jesus still went to the cross and demonstrated ultimate love while we were yet sinners. We were his enemies as well as sinners. Enemies because we're sinners. Because he loved us, he gave himself for us. It gets really practical when Jesus says that people are hitting you on the cheek. Don't say, well, you've struck me and you violated a civil law. You've assaulted me, so I'm going to get an arrest warrant out for you. Give them the other one. It's hard to live, isn't it? How many of us have ever done that? And he says, give to whoever asks. We want to ask a lot of questions. What do you want to do? You want some money? What do you want to do with the money? And really what we ought to be asking is, being guided by love, we'd be like our Father. The first words he ever spoke in Scripture to sinners were posed in a question. Where are you? It wasn't, I know what you've done and I've come to punish you. It's, where are you? And he drew near to our first parents. And this is what Jesus is telling us to do. At least understand that if you've got an enemy, they're in some kind of contact with you. And you may wish that they weren't, and work to make it not that they weren't, so that they weren't. But Jesus is telling us to go towards them. Embrace them and do so with sincere love. If they take your coat, give them your shirt too. And give to everyone who asks. And in case we lose our way, how many rules and regulations does he specify here? He sums it up by saying, look, you know how to treat people. If you're a Christian, You've experienced the love of God. You've experienced the mercy of God. You've experienced the giving of God. And it's pleased you. Now, why be like those lepers who went out in the Old Testament and found the Syrian camp deserted? And they were hungry and they ate all the food and they were rejoicing. But then some of them said, we shouldn't do this. Let's go share this with the other people. Why should we be ones who have received mercy and not give mercy. So, verse 31 says, just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way. That's all we have to do. What I have the impulse to do is react in a rejecting, a disparaging kind of way towards my enemy. Not an embracing way, not an accepting way, not an open way. I'm not going to open myself up and make myself more vulnerable. But is that really what we want everybody around us to do with us? Every time we make a mistake, they back off and it's hands off. Or if anything's spoken, it's severe criticism. Of course not. So just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way. And love those who love you, but that's easy to do. That's not really the ultimate dimension of God's love, because God demonstrates the true essence of his love in that while we were yet sinners, we were his enemies, we had nothing to give him. He died for us. This is how we build a true house that stands. And Jesus goes on to emphasize this. We think that it's clear enough at this point. Okay, love, be unlovely. Unlovely to me, for whatever reason. But he says it again, wrapping it up, verse 35. But love your enemies. And don't just love them with your heart and your mind, but your hand, your actions too. Do good to them. Lend, expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High. Because he himself, notice this, when we decide there's a certain kind of behavior, a certain sin in certain sinners that puts them beyond the pale of our treating them with love, we're way outside of the pale ourselves from where Jesus would have us to be. Because he said, you're acting contrary to your Father. He himself is kind to ungrateful and evil people. He's kind. Be merciful, therefore, just as your Father is merciful. And don't pass judgment. That's where we use our minds not to figure out ways to move closer to the people and do good for people that we're trying to love. But we use our minds to excuse ourselves for hating them, disliking them, vilifying them, ignoring them. We can be pretty good and accomplished at that. But love them, do good to them, and pardon them. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. How many times? Well, Jesus speaks about forgiveness up to 7 times 70. And nobody can keep count that far. It's basically saying it doesn't end. So this is hard. But it's actually the sweetest way we can live. Our hearts to be filled with the love of God that doesn't shrink the targets and exclude the targets and pick only the ones that we like, but opens up to more and more, goes out to more and more, embraces more and more. And even if it's rejected, kindness is still showered upon those who don't love us, those who hate us, those who are our enemies. So I want to get more familiar with this in my life. And I trust we all do. Amen.
Thank you.